Happy first week back to school. Elliot, if you can put the title slide on, that would be good. The next one, I think, is just the sermon title slide. How's the first week back for those of you with kids that are still in? Yeah? Good. I see smiles. That's a good thing. We are, and people that are working in the school, right? And people that are retired from the school.
First week not being,
exactly. They're not calling. Okay, right. Well, we're glad that you're all here now today, and glad that we can be with each other. Before I read our scripture, I want you to look around at each other. Look around, take a good look at each other. All right. Let me read the scripture, then we'll come back. We'll go to the Bible app, and then we'll go back, Elliot, to this slide later. But let's read Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So if we go back to do we have the scripture up when I read it? Okay, great. Elliot, you're just on it way faster than I thought. Thank you. This title, what I want to look at today is this idea of fellowship. I don't know if you've grown up in the church, and sometimes we heard the word fellowship. It kind of, I don't know, for me, it became kind of like a lame word. Maybe fellowship hall or fellowship, you're going to have soup and buns. No, soup and buns is awesome because that's soup Sunday, right? But it was end up being this kind of a lame word a little bit. But we need, But what I want us to see is that this word actually is quite powerful. It's not something that is just trite, or it's not something that actually is an add-on here. And what I want us to understand, there's going to be two things that I want to look at today. First of all, the fellowship of unlikely friends. As you look around, some of us might go, oh yeah, no, I could get along with that person. I would do something with them. But if you look at each other here, you might go, oh yeah, I don't know. Would I actually ever be around this person if the gospel of Jesus didn't call me to be here? Or if the gospel of Jesus hasn't affected my own life in a way? Would I ever have seen this person before? And what I want us to see is that in the New Testament, particularly as we look at the Gospels, when Jesus is calling all the different disciples, we've talked about this before, but he's calling like fishermen, then he's calling tax collectors that would have taxed those fishermen. Then he's calling a zealot, he's calling all kinds of different men at the time to be around him. And then we know that there was more people, women that were following him at the time, that were all a bit of a motley crew of a band of people. Now, they were all Jewish, so they had that in common. They also had another thing in common, that they all, in a sense, the assumption is that they all wanted to follow a rabbi, a teacher. And so they had that in common. And then we see Jesus was walking with them and shaping them. And we realize that as Jesus was with this crew of people, for the time that he was, the 3 years that he was in ministry, before his death and before his resurrection, and even, I would say, all the way to the ascension and Pentecost, that they didn't actually get it. And so Jesus was shaping them as a community, to be in fellowship with one another,
to be able to look like him and do the things that he was to do, and yet there was arguments about it. And the interesting thing, as we look at the fellowship of unlikely friendship that comes out after Pentecost, then we know 14 years after Pentecost, that involves the Gentiles. During the life of Jesus, as he's calling the disciples, we know that he was, there's times when Jesus was hanging around people that were, we've talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the sinners and the tax collectors, those people. And he was putting his reputation online. So he was teaching his disciples, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. Then he's teaching the disciples about, yeah, those Samaritans, those ones that you want to call down fire. Jesus spoke directly to them and James and John at the time and basically said, What are you doing? No, this is not how we treat people. He called then, and then he calls, has a long conversation with his friends and saying, if you want to be a child of God, a child of God looks like this. And in Matthew, he speaks about being loving enemies. So he moves friendship towards enemies and being friendly towards enemies. And then we see, finally, at the cross, that Jesus' friendship is actually for the entire world. And that, and so they had to sort all this out. And Jesus not only calls the disciples with him friends, but we know now through his life, death, resurrection, and the giving of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, that his friendship wasn't just for them, it was for us. So as we think about that, we look about that, we see it's a friendship of unlikely people. This fellowship that is written about here in these verses is a fellowship that would have had, maybe not at this time, it would have been several years later, where they would have been looking back at this, but where they would have had conversations around how do we now have fellowship, which would be the breaking of bread, which would be food, amongst a table of people that we were told that we should never eat with, the Gentiles. They're eating crayfish and hogs and all this stuff. And it took them a long time to actually get it. We read in Acts, we think it goes fairly quick, but it's usually after a decade. And so it was, but at this fellowship, what you would have seen here earlier, you would have seen rich and poor together in fellowship. That was the big sign of the church at the time. Or orphans, people that didn't have other people to help them. It would have been, there would have been a coming together of cultures in that sense. They were probably all Jewish at the time, Jewish Christians, but coming together, and then they were starting to cross boundaries that weren't crossed in that culture at the time. And it worked, it started out by Jesus calling these disciples together that were all from all kinds of different backgrounds, yet they're Jewish. Then what he does on the cross for all of creation, for all of the world. Then we see that the church was working its way out, and so the boundaries started to get a bit bigger when there was crossing societal norms and crossing with rich and poor, and they're actually with each other. And then we see later on, as I was chatted about just a few minutes ago, that it's now with Gentiles, and then it's going to be working through what does it look like to be with enemies, being friends of enemies. So when we see the word fellowship, as much as it's awesome to be with people that we like to be around with, that word fellowship has a lot of tension because it works out to be what the kingdom of God looks like in its fullness. Mainly people that might not look like you, but we're being friends because we are friends with God. Because we are friends with God, we are now friends with others, and we work at that friendship. And it's a beautiful, beautiful picture. So fellowship, I don't want to see that word as too passive anymore. I want to see it reflects the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. And so we see that the gospel of Jesus creates and calls us into spiritual friendship or community with people that we might not connect with otherwise. The next slide, if you can put up. And so as we look at each other again, and some of us are getting used to one another. There's some people that have been here longer than others. And so as we look at each other, and this is why as we greet one another, as we try to do life with one another, it reflects the kingdom of God. So let's be mindful of that one thing. There's a friendship of unlikely friends. It's interesting where, and many of you have had an opportunity to do this, but if you have an opportunity to go at different parts of the world, even as you're going to, if you go to vacation there or what, doesn't have to be a mission trip, but if you go and then you go to a church, you realize, oh, these are my people. Like when I'd have opportunity to go to Africa years ago, to South America, and you just sit and you're like, okay, this is what the kingdom of heaven is going to look like in heaven, but it looks like here right now, and it's most likely so many people that don't look like us. And so we need to be mindful of that, friendship is always, in friendship in God's kingdom, there's always an open chair for someone new. There's always an open chair for someone to be invited in, because that's what Jesus was doing all the time, to the point where it was offensive to the religious leaders. So might we be thinking about that, even when we maybe are like, that person. We're because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it shapes how we think about other people and it should relate to how we relate to them. So that's my one of my first points for us. Now, let's talk a little bit about this word fellowship. It's there. It is in this, talking about the early church in this way, because guess what? Friendship or fellowship, it's needed. Simply put, it's needed. To need and to want deep friendships is actually not a sign of being immature. It's a sign of maturity. Let me try to unpack that a little bit. Can you put the next slide on, Elliot? Should be great. So, creation story. If we look at creation story, we see in the first two chapters is creation. There's kind of two different narratives that is happening. The first narrative where God is creating the entire world, and after he says, like, this is good. 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 Then he creates man. He says, this is very good. And I've mentioned before, it's not just because he created humans and said, this is very good. It's because of the relationship in all of it that's very good. And then in creation, in Genesis 2, this is before the fall. This is before sin enters the world. I had a bit of an aha moment this week when I was realizing this. This is before the creation of the world. Creation, the second narrative, speaking about creating, and he creates man out of what? Earth, and he forms Adam, man, and he breathes life into Adam. He's there, and he says, you know, like, I want you to be a part of my garden and name the animals, and he's doing all this. And then it was like, then it's almost like God's pondering, this is before sin. This is still, everything's perfect. God ponders and he goes, I don't think it's good for him to be alone. Now, I'm wondering what the author's doing at this time. Is God realizing he made maybe a mistake? But no, it's because this is before creation. So Adam here wasn't lonely because he was imperfect. Adam was lonely because he was perfect and good and right. Tim Keller puts it this way. The ache for friendship is the one ache that is not the result of sin. Because this is happening before. This is all part of the creation story. Isn't this interesting? And so, in a sense, I don't know, and then you can extrapolate. There's people writing about these things. And I found it just intriguing where someone said that Adam was not really able to enjoy paradise without friends, without Eve, without another, without someone else. Wasn't able to like, look at this. Hey, I named this. Hey, can you help me with this? Look at, oh my goodness, the giraffe. That's so weird. Don't you think it's weird? It's totally weird. Like, look at this. What? Look at the elephant. Look, it's pooping. Oh my goodness. That's great. Like, I don't know. Like, it would have been just so singular. But there is joy that comes out of this relationship that there is this. And so maybe there's this point in the creation story, that little line where God says, I don't want Adam to be alone. I don't want man to be alone. Where we need to see that, even in the midst of paradise, in the midst when everything's going really well, you're not supposed to be alone. Even when things are going perfectly fine, sometimes we think, oh, it's all about only when troubles come and hardship, I need a good friend. And no, it's actually both and. And it starts with the joy. It starts with all the good stuff. Enjoy the good stuff with your friends. You're not meant to be alone. And the beauty of this is, if you're lonely and want friends, you're not dysfunctional. You're just fine. Do you know that? Right? If you want friends, you're not needy. It's part of your makeup. It's part of who you are. Now, some of us have different capacities. Some of us are, raging extroverts. Some of us are more introverted. So we have different capacity of how many friends, what does that look like? All those kind of things that we're not going to get at. But if you have an urge and a desire and an ache for friendship, that is, I believe, God given to you just as it was for Adam. And guess what? God then, in the midst of paradise, puts people in our midst to be with us, to enjoy life, to have those moments of banquets, have those moments of, good coffee and good wine, good food, great relationships. That's the beauty of friendship. The passion of it and the ache for friendship is a godly ache. So keep aching that way. And then as we look at this, this was on, I haven't marked it, but sorry, this next slide about loneliness has no age restriction. This is on the Canadian, not the CDC, is it the CDC? Yeah. Website where it talks about here, loneliness has no age restriction. These are 1 in 4 people, age 15 to 24, reported that they feel lonely. And then it talks about it. Then as you get a bit older, maybe your friends are dying on you. Or what does it look like? Or I'm not sure. But there's people here that would say that, I ache for friendship. So I don't put this up there to say, I put it up there to say that there are people that are aching for friendship. I just heard of another report, didn't have time to look at it, but it's interesting. Do you know that AI is starting to replace people's friendship? There's as good as some of the AI, there's AI that is people are leaning into to have someone to talk to and to be with instead of flesh and blood. Now, again, the ache of inside of us to be able to be with someone, to have someone know us, that's a good thing. And how do we navigate becoming friends or others becoming friends with us? One thing I might want to just say to us is this. It should be on a slide, I think. Let yourself need people. We are built for friendship. Let yourself need people. Sometimes we want to, well, we think that we can just do it on our own. Or, how you doing? I'm okay. It's all good. And not, don't just let yourself need people when you're needy. Let yourself need people when you want to celebrate. And so, like I mentioned about that car sign a couple weeks ago, where be seen, see and be seen. See others and be, let other people see you. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes it's hard to let others see you. Sometimes it might feel like you're doing this and nobody's seeing you. And that's hard. Sometimes we may only have capacity for a certain amount of people in our lives as well. But I wonder if in the maybe some of the habits we formed during COVID, where there was less relationship, that we were a lot more on our screens, there was less, in a sense, community, and we're coming through it and out of it, and this is partly why we start late here. Do you know that? It's actually intentional. Like, oh, how come we aren't starting? Well, we start late because we want people to be in people's faces. Well, people could come earlier. Yeah, they could, but they don't. Right? And especially at the MC, it's usually like a lot more because we're waiting for coffee and we're getting... And that's actually intentional. And we're not telling you what to do or how to do it or what. We're hoping that that is happening. We're hoping that your friendship with God is working in you in a way that you would also want to be friends with other people, or at least friendly with others. And then at some point, and somewhere along the way, you're able to allow yourself to be known by someone in your friendship. And I think as we would do that, as we could be vulnerable with one another in this way, I wonder what it would do to our, first of all, in our church community, and then in a ripple effect in our community, the bigger community, as we continue to allow people to know us, as we continue to say, I need some help. Hey, come celebrate with me. Want to come watch a baseball game with me? Or these are just sometimes like, sometimes we think of them as trivial things. But if you're, with the capacity that you have, if you invite people in your life, I really believe, especially in a Christian community, that that will be life-giving. And we need to find our quiet time and our quiet space, and we need boundaries, yes. But I wonder what it would look like if maybe we are and people do this, but I wonder if we're maybe a bit more open to have like someone in our home, or we invite someone over for lunch or for dinner, or what does it look like, or someone that maybe doesn't look like us. Maybe I take a risk. This is why we're actually planning for October, the awkward month. And we're going to be planning, guess who's coming to dinner again? That's one way that we're going to do it. We're going to do, if there's some, hopefully, if there's some of you that have been here for a little while and you haven't been to a I don't know why I'm stumbling on this, but get to know you lunch for our church. We'd love to have you. We're going to have all these things set up. We're going to have a games night one night, and we're hoping maybe to then do a prayer and worship night at some point in October. So we're going to look at for ways to try to be in people's faces a bit more, because we understand that it's a fellowship of unlikely friends. And we have to figure out how to do that more, but not more in the sense that all of a sudden we're going to take you away from all of your, everything that you need to do. But we can provide opportunities for us to get to know each other a bit more, because it looks more and more like Jesus as we do it. So we pray that would look like that. That as we reveal ourselves to other people, as we become known with other people, we will then experience the grace of God in each other's lives as well. I remember, I'll just share one story before we have communion here. In Bible college, there was something that was eating me up for like years, and I needed to just get it off my chest and share it with someone, and I was like, no, I was like, I can't say this to somebody, and finally we were in a opportunity space where someone where I was with a friend, and kind of just said, I just need to share this to him, like this, and he was like, yeah, okay. I was like, and it wasn't like it wasn't dismissive. It was more like, okay, well, yeah, we've all, let's, isn't that life? Don't we all mess up? And it was like, oh, that was one of the first, my first experiences that I would say of the grace of God powerfully showing themselves through someone else in my life when I needed to, in a sense, confess something. And it was beautiful. And I was like, okay, could I be that for other people? But it starts off with maybe just soup and buns. It might start off with just something that you're interested, you're both interested in, or a group of you are interested in. And then it moves to something more and more deep. May we be people that could be a people that would be creating a fellowship that would look more and more like the kingdom of God. So those are the two things. Fellowship of unlikely friends and the idea that friendship is needed. And would you allow people into your life? We're going to move to this image and this sacrament of fellowship, of communion, and sometimes in our lower church, like communion, we call it communion. Other churches might call it the Eucharist, which is thanksgiving. Others might call it the Lord's Supper. Today, it's a beautiful, if we're looking at it in the idea of communion, it's a beautiful picture that we are all here, unlikely friends, because of this, because Jesus actually says, I have come to call you friends. And a friend lays down his life for others. And this is what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. Pray that you would receive, as you receive the gift that Jesus has given you, would you know in your bones that you are the friend of God? And would that move you and me to be more of a friend of others in the way that Jesus would call us to be? So I'm going to read a bit of a liturgy for us, and then I'm going to ask Jay and Sue will be over here. It's the bread is gluten-free, and the juice, we're thankful for. I just love the fact that this juice is from Brian and Betty's grapes and from their home, and the juice that they themselves provided for us. And so I'll read the liturgy. We'll call you forward. There'll be some music, and you can wait to hold your elements, and we'll partake them together.